100 Word Stories. Hi, everybody. This is Lawrence Simon of the 100 Word Stories Weekly Challenge, where I post the topic and you come up with the stories. And maybe we'll have some fun. Or maybe not. I don't know. It's up to you. It's totally up to you. I'm outside. It's a beautiful day. It's early May in Houston. It hasn't become ungodly awful yet. It's the weekend. The jasmine's in bloom. Come out and join me. Let's listen to some stories. I mean, let's see. We've got a story from Mike. He says it's his first entry in the 100 Word Story Podcast. Mike, come on, join us. Be a part of it. Put on a t-shirt and shorts and just, you know, hey, let's hang out. It's real nice out. And I wish we had an outlet outside. I'll probably have to crack open a door and plug something in. But this laptop's got good batteries on it. It's got good soul. It's got good heart. And it's got this, a story from Mike. Leading us off here, the topic is old. Man, do I feel old.
Dude.
What?
Do you have any singles?
Why?
That girl. I think she wants me to put a dollar in her G-string.
We're at a high school basketball game.
I know. But for God's sake, she's wearing mesh pantyhose. She has tattoos, a butterfly on her ankle, a tramp stamp on her back. And she has flowers that go up her tummy and over her. Dude, that's Amanda Tomlinson. Wait, Mandy Tomlinson? Andrew Tomlinson's daughter? Shh, yes. And he's right behind us. Dude.
What?
Do you have any forks in there? Just a spork. Why? I want to gouge out my eyes.
Oh, man. Where have you been all my life? Thank you, Mike. That was good. And, dude, if you're not already sending stuff to, go over to Dribblecast, D-R-I-B-B-L-E-C-A-S-T. Everybody go to Dribblecast. Go to the Dribblecast forums. Post some of these up in the Dribblecast. I know that other folks will produce them and all that, but dude, you nailed it with this one. Good first going here. It's only up. It's only going up, man. Everybody, come on. Let's welcome him in. Put in the comments, hey man, welcome to the show. Welcome to the fun. Otherwise, after a few weeks, you'll be like, eh, what's the point? It's called community, man. Bring it all together. Here's someone else in the community. It's Thomas up at Sequim. See, I said Sequim. I've already lost. I'm out on the patio, though, so it's a beautiful day. It's a beautiful day, people. If you've got something nice going on outside, go out. Just sit on the patio. Drag your laptops and all your stuff outside. Drag your family. Drag your IVs and all that. And just enjoy the day for once. Enjoy. Oh, and we got to enjoy Thomas's stories. So here we go.
Henry was an old man. In the last 10, maybe 20 years, he realized that he had grown invisible. When shopping, picking a loaf of bread off the shelf, or choosing a couple of oranges at the produce counter, young people would pass by, almost brushing into him, but not making eye contact or offering a greeting. At the front entrance of the post office, an attractive young lady appeared, face to face at the large double doors. She stared straight ahead, not changing her expression. She looked through the old man as if he was glass in the door. The geezer was old, but still felt bold, older than dirt, but still the flirt, ogling the legs with his ham and eggs, checking behinds through Venetian blinds. Any chance he had with the scantily clad at the park, daytime or dark, he'd wait for the runner, an exceptional stunner, to jog on by and to catch his eye. Bright yellow shorts, which barely supports her magnificent tush, her fanny, a bubble, screaming for trouble, to the nasty old goat tightening his throat and raising his nubble. Old, but not dead, he could still pray for that magical day.
My God, that was like slam poetry from Thomas there. Dude, we're all on fire this week. Awesome. Thanks, man. That's good. I'm not drunk yet. I didn't put anything in the Diet Coke that I'm drinking. Yeah, I'm drinking Diet Coke. I'm not doing coffee. For the past few weeks when I drink coffee really early, it wires me beyond all reason. God, I'm looking at the jasmine on the fence. I posted photos of it here and there. We need to put some nails in the fence to help guide it. But it's going up instead of across the fence. If you've seen the photos before, we had jasmine all along this fence. It was so beautiful. Then Hurricane Ike came, and it took 2 years to get the jasmine to take in the corner. They ripped up all the jasmine down to the root. It sucked when they replaced the fence. And then now it's blooming again. It's beautiful. It smells so good. Well, if I could smell it. I don't know what the hell is in my throat, but oh well, the doctor, you know, the coroner will figure it out. Next up, Norval Joe. Normally he's later in the podcast, but he was inspired by the topic. It just hit him, just boom, and he got it done. So, Norval Joe, thank you for promptness, and here's your story on old, possibly two.
Hello, this is Philip Norval Joe Carroll of the Flying Island Press and of The Price of Friendship, available at patiobooks.com. And this is my entry for the weekly challenge number 368 with a prompt of old. I'm a bit confused. This is Sunday night, nearly a week ahead of when I'd normally send it in. But on Saturday night, I'll be traveling by train back from Provo, Utah, where I will have attended the LDS Storymakers Conference. I'm going to pitch my story to an agent, paid my $20, get my 10 minutes. We'll see what happens. Who knows? I may be famous someday. Not. But that's right. I'm one of those bigoted Mormons who hates everybody. To show you how bigoted I am, I refused to vote for President Obama. But then I didn't vote for Romney either. I voted for Johnson. And you know who he is. He's for equality and everything. Talk about crazy. Well, I'm for equality too. I hate everybody equally. So here are my stories. Before Katie could drag Boral from the hut, screams issued from the tropical forest. Through the screen walls of the structure, men could be seen leaping from the foliage and rushing to crowd around the small man's house. Each warrior held a drawn bow aimed within. "I knew you were O'Malley's spies," the small man whined. As one, the women threw their spears to the ground, their bare breasts heaving as they sighed in resignation. "O'Leary, send out those thieves and make sure they've got the Tallulah gourd with them," someone shouted from outside. "This is getting old," Boral grumbled. And again. "Mr. Dunderspawn, if you won't sign the paper, there's not a lot I can do for you. You're being held on suspicion of being an international terrorist. You have no rights as a U.S. citizen." A guard walked up, unlocked the cell door, and said, "Come with me. You have a visitor." Across the plexiglass divider, Widow Finkelstein scowled. An old cardboard box sat on the table before her. "I've been feeding your wiener dogs while you've been away, but this one won't eat." The gray muzzle of Long John Silver poked from under the folded lid of the box. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
It doesn't matter whether you're famous or not. We still love you, Norval Joe. And I hope that you get that agent and you get that deal and you make it big. And it doesn't matter whether you remember us or not. when it comes time for signing those contracts and, hey, you know any other people with stories? All that matters is that you enjoy writing, man. And you enjoy telling stories. That's what matters. And that you get outside and enjoy the beautiful weather. The clouds are so nice down here as opposed to being in an airplane flying through those fluffy, turbulent bastards. Oh, sorry. Thank you, Norval Joe. we got more stories. Jeffrey Fisher. Yeah, Jeffrey. Jeff, you, stories? Imagine that. I'm looking in the inbox and it's like, oh, there's more. It's just that kind of Sunday morning. It's like Christmas, only with stories, and it's not cold out. Here's Jeffrey.
Hello, Jeffrey Fisher here with my entries for this week's 100-word stories weekly challenge on the subject of old. And it's a good topic for me since I'm, well, old. Anyway, here's the first story. This is Parker. The pen was old, a black 1947 vacuum-filling Parker 51 with a blue diamond on the arrow clip. Scratches along the soft metal cap gave the pen character. The rubber and the filling mechanism had become brittle with age, but with some careful work I replaced the diaphragm. After soaking the pen in water to dissolve years of dried ink, the 51 was ready to write. I sat at my father's desk, like the pen, another antique I inherited, with the 51 in my hand, poised to make a note in my new leather-bound journal. My father thought of his pen as an extension of himself. Does the pen still have that power? Or in an age of electronic diaries and handheld computers, is it hopelessly anachronistic, mere evidence of a bygone age? My second story is called Goin' Mobile. My first car was a 1982 Mercury Lynx. It was old at the time I bought it, held together more by duct tape than welds, moved from 0 to 60 in a brisk 10 to 12 seconds or so, and had an annoying tendency to refuse to start when the engine was halfway warm. Still, a car meant freedom. I loved that. Of course, to a young person, a car also meant car payments, and an old car meant lots of repairs. Did I say freedom? I meant to say prison.
Hey now, don't knock prison. It's a happening place. Thank you. Oh, God, I was going to say Norval Joe. No, I thank Norval Joe enough. I need to thank Jeffrey Fisher. We got to keep things in balance. Ooh, somebody driving across the parking lot. You get interesting sounds here. We're not so far from the freeways, one of the busiest interchanges in Texas. It sounds like the ocean to me, but to you it may sound like, oh, I don't know, the busiest intersection in all of Texas. Yeehaw! Next up, it's Richard. I should probably apologize for not including his stories last week, but I never got them. I know that he puts weekly challenge on them. I have rules on my mailbox that say, if anything says weekly challenge, route it. And looking down the list, the only people this week that did not put weekly challenge on their weekly challenge emails, Miata and Marie. So you two get in the habit. It automatically routes into the tag or the folder or the whatever it is in Gmail. And then I've got IMAP that I use on Thunderbird on this Mac. So all of it stores up on Gmail, but I can sync it up and all that crap. But really, put weekly challenge on there. Because if I have to manually pick it out of the spam filter for some reason, I search for weekly challenge and anything with an attachment. And if it looks like it's a story, I bring it over. But sometimes I forget. So caveat, storyteller. Huh? You've been warned. You've been implored. You've been begged. That's it. So, Richard, now that I've rambled all that, it's here. We got it this week. Good. Great. Let's hit play.
Hi, everybody. Don't Sundays come around quickly these days? Or maybe I'm just getting old. I don't know. If you hear some strange noises creeping in this week, it's because I've taken Lawrence's words to heart. And I've opened the doors and you can hear everything that's going on around me, which is possibly more interesting than what I've got to say. This week's theme was old, and I've got three stories. The first one is called The Dig. The team gathered excitedly around the find. The artifact was old, ancient in fact, but that wasn't its most striking attribute. For there in the trench, surrounded by pottery and tile fragments, covered in mud and scoured by the ravages of time, lay unmistakably a Roman timepiece. This was an historical moment, one that would change forever our understanding of ancient technology. Nobody had realised the Romans were so technologically advanced. Johnson walked up to the crowd, wondering what all the excitement was about. "Hey guys, has anyone seen my watch? I dropped it around here a couple of days ago." My second story this week is called Grow Up. Grow up. It's an admonishment I seem to get every day. Like the time I put itching powder down Miss Turner's back. Or the hilarious occasion I slipped those little blue tablets into Sydney's orange juice. "Grow up," they said in exasperation. I don't want to grow up. There's enough time for that when I'm older. Today, Louise caught me tobogganing down the stairs on a tea tray. It was the last straw for her, resulting in a proper telling off. "For goodness sake, Grandpa, will you please grow up? You're just too old for this kind of behaviour." And finally this week, we'll catch up with George. Now, if you missed last week's instalment, which is quite possible since the email didn't seem to get to Lawrence in time, he's found himself in the mortuary. This one's called Hasty Retreat. George's exit from the mortuary was a good deal more rapid than his entrance. Whatever disaster had befallen humanity outside, he'd much rather take his chances with the living dead than hang around with the dead and decaying. He cleared the corridor in 5 seconds flat and tore back up the several flights of stairs he'd only recently made his way down. Finally, he could run no further and collapsed in a heap on the floor, fighting for breath and wishing he'd spent more time keeping in shape. Miserably, he thought, "I'm getting too old for this sort of thing." And right on cue, car alarm going off outside. So on that happy note, I shall bid you all goodbye. Have a good week.
You see, you can record it anywhere. Even if there's background noise, even if there's stuff going on, that's called life. It gets in everything. You know what's considered pure for cranberry sauce? All those bug parts and all that stuff, and that's considered clean? Life is those bug parts. They get into there. Go around, read your story while on a thing. Read it in a group of people at lunch and have their reactions, even if they say boo and you suck because you're standing in the line right at the register reading it and they're waiting behind you. That's okay. That's called life. Little life into your heart. Little life into your stories. Thank you, Richard. Thank you for being a part of this. Thank you for following my every heat and decree. Because if you follow Muncie's, you're going to wind up being part of the army of the doomed or the damned or a duckling, an army of damned ducklings. I think he's trying to construct something out of this. Maybe a monster. Let's be careful. Serendipity? Sure. Let's get You may hear in the background little plaintive mewing and scratching at the door. That's because Mist wants to come outside. No. Don't want to be responsible for you outside. Wait until Mommy's awake, because I might fall asleep and then you're outside with no one awake. And I don't want to lose another kitty. Poor little baby. Serendipity? Sure. Okay, drag and drop.
My coffee table is an heirloom from my grandmother. I remember her teaching me to count the rings in the grain to see how old the tree was. No matter how many times I counted, I always came up with a different number. We'd sit at the table, and she'd show how each ring represented a particular year.
This one was made at the time of the Industrial Revolution. And that one is around the date of the American Civil War.
What about that dark one right in the middle? I prompted.
Your grandfather's coffee cup made that,
she grumbled.
And this little divot in the table is from where I bashed my head. Because that story was so good, I'm feeling headbanging. Thank you, Serendipity. Click and click, and we've got a window here and a window there. It's just like pillows, you know? It takes a while to rearrange pillows. And then when you finally have it right, you fall asleep. So you don't remember how you had the pillows. So you put a camera on yourself, and you knock over the camera, and it gets a little weird, and somehow it posts to the internet, and you wind up with a brand new nickname. But at least you got a few likes and favorites. It's when you get more dislikes from it. Let's not talk about that. Instead, let's move over to Muncie. If we move over to Muncie, he's got a story for us. Imagine that. It's only called 100-word stories. You know, the dumbest question I get is, does it have to be 100 words long? Read the title? Right, Muncie's story.
Greetings, ducklings. Muncie here with a story for you. A story of life, of love, and yes, of dubstep. Wait, what? Oh well, I said it out loud, no way out of it now. A story about dubstep it will have to be. Dubstep by Christopher Monroe. I have to admit, I don't enjoy dubstep. Which is weird. I've enjoyed electronic music in the past. I liked Chemical Brothers and Prodigy during the 90s. I still love Daft Punk. Aphex Twin's Richard D. James album is one of my favorites. And there's a clear line between that and dubstep. And yet, I can't get into it. I suspect the fault isn't dubstep's, but my own. Because I'm growing older. I'm always growing older. Every minute of every day. It's the one constant of my life. And one day, I'll die. But, more importantly, I don't enjoy dubstep. Broken Escalator is a thing, so is my flash fiction blog. Tweets at Munzee Munzee. Thus concludes my story for the week, ducklings. Now get out there and fly.
Fly like a duckling to the sea. Fly like... Oh, sorry. Hi, Muncie. Oh, right. Okay, thank you. Broken Escalator is a thing, so it is a noun. Remember that when someone asks you for a noun, say Broken Escalator. I listened to some more of the Broken Escalator on the plane out to Atlanta and back. And I'm telling you, this is the best Broken Escalator story you will ever hear. No matter how hard I try, I will never match the brokenness of that escalator. But is it the escalator that's broken? Or the people? The people trapped on either end of it? Help will arrive one day. Oh, right. Lizzie! She's waiting. I'm sorry for keeping you waiting. Here, let me just get a chair ready and pull up a chair. See? That's what you get. Background sounds. It's called life. Huh? Okay, so we got the chair. I'm not going to put my feet on it. No? I'm kind of stubbly and short these days. Anyway, here's Lizzie.
Hello, everyone. My story this week is called To Understand. Preferably, mumbled the foreigner leaning against the SUV covered in dust. Sharik didn't speak English, but his job was not to understand. His job was to take the man to different locations, like this abandoned old house in a deserted area. The foreigner checked his watch and shook his head. Another SUV appeared from behind the house. A man stepped down. They talked for a few seconds. The foreigner came back muttering, "The devil's waiting." As they drove away, there was a huge explosion, and pieces of the other SUV flew in all directions. Sharik thought, the devil's at work. This was my story for this week. I guess there are many different ways of understanding. Drop by my blog at lizzykutkoff.blogspot.com to check what I've been writing lately. Have a great week. Talk to you next time.
Have the best week, the absolute best week you can, and make that week last 9 days long. That's what I'm telling you, people. I'm taking the pass from Lizzie, and I am running with it. I am dancing with it. The end zone is within... Which end zone is that? Hold on, I can't remember. You see, they make them look the same. And the problem is, you're running so hard with your eyes closed, and you don't see the... No, not this way. I don't want to remember those days. Instead, what I'm going to do is say, you're in for a treat. If you thought that this podcast started off great and has gotten only better, well, you're right. Because here's Singh. And he's got the second half of the what was it called? Hold on. The second half of the tumult cards. So, tumult. I love that word. It is such a fun word, tumult. It uses up two U's, so if you're in Scrabble, you'll probably use UNAU instead, UNAU. Look it up. I ain't telling you, do I look like your mother? It's Mother's Day and you didn't get me a card or flowers, so I ain't your mother. Oh, wait, I forgot to do that to my own mom. Shit. Great, now I get to call her and get yelled. How about I turn off my phone? Okay, here's Singh.
Dante looked down at the broken body in the pit. A flicker registered in the face. You thought I could forget, Wolfgang? How you snatched my company, my wife, and my children? Remember our deal done by kerosene lamp? Poetic justice, isn't it? You tripped into your own bear trap, the one you dug 10 years ago. You think I care? I'm way too old, but I will play a last card for you. Dante shuffled the surrogate card, turned face up. Sorry, you lose. Dante lifted the trapdoor and let in the wolves. The alpha dog tore at his throat. The she-wolf, his genitals. The others attacked at each limb, ripping him like a rag doll. His neck was spurting red, but Dante was supra-conscious beneath the excoriations of pain. It should not have happened like this. Had he become his enemy's understudy? Yes, the surrogate card had decided, and this wasn't a rehearsal. What level of hell was he in? The leopard, the lion, and the wolf were still at his heels. From the shit pit of bodies writhing in human ammonia, a black hand emerged, holding aloft the clone card.
Ladies, you can change your spots through the Lady Leopard Sexercise Program. Francine,
he spun around. I never thought I'd see, and broke off.
The once chubby face of his childhood sweetheart had been cloned by wall-to-wall video screens. She was the wellness goddess. Nothing made sense. Had he been saved from hell only to land up in this cheesy mall promotion with a lady leopard look-alike pageant just beginning? The future couldn't be so random. The idea of progress had to exist. He tossed the tumult deck into the air. Each falling future was a time out card. Time is a lion pacing the cage, losing grip. The past might have been the tawny savannah of Africa, but the future was a putrid stall of thrown bones. Shocking, Dante thought, how nobility could be so reduced to an object of pedestrian pleasure, pointing and licking its French fry fingers. Caged in his consciousness, he was no different to the big cat. Sitting on the bench under a tree, he felt truly compassionate and remorseful for the first time. Heavens and hells, Africa's and zoo purgatory, were these destinations or stopovers? Wind shook down the leaves, and the power card. Dante met his she-wolf on Tuesdays. The circle drummed them into the underworld, howling and mating as power animals. They then returned. Lycanthia Wolf had founded the Therian support group after coming out 2 years back. Meeting her alpha, she was happy. He was circumspect about therianthropy, all these drooping tails pinned to backsides. Psychiatrists call this species dysmorphia, he challenged. It's animal past lives, she answered. A newcomer jumped in. We meet in the virtual world and are in a loving raccoon-hyena relationship now. Dante fiddled with the deck in his pocket and pulled out the Buddha card. To escape leopard, lion and wolf, Dante had backpacked here, seeking sanctuary. 30 monks sat before the rare monkey wood image. Chop off the Buddha's head, the abbot ordered. It is sacrosanct, unthinkable, one factional monk complained. Just do it, said the cranky abbot. Was Dante being ensnared in a power struggle? Who to align with? Who would win? Why are you waiting, you fool? So Dante swung. A chip flew out. Another card. It was surrender. Now chop and burn it. My toes are icicles. Dante understood none of this. Lust, greed, and power were still growling beasts in his belly. She was 100 with a face leathery as a shrunken doll, but her eyes were pellucid as the mountain river. Dante had to purify himself in water before Tingri, the sky god, would revoke the three evils. Old grandmother donned her she-wolf mask and danced into trance. Soon she was howling in an animal tongue. Dante couldn't understand. Suddenly she punched him left, right and left with such force it loosened a tooth. Later, in the yurt, after a meal of horse offal, he dreamed of falling stones, On waking, the clemency card was stuck to his palm. "Leniency, sir?" Dante asked. "At Ypres, the beast in man was born from mud." 30 miles behind the front, General Sir Ossian Quayle's luncheoned on. "Some Christmas clemency, please. Trench morale has been gnawed raw." Quayle's held his tarte d'oignon mid-fork. "In battle, Colonel, the lion must be unleashed, then goaded forward." Dante clenched knuckles, remembering thousands sentenced to machine gun oblivion. "The three deserters?" Quayle's considered the political implications. Let him carry the shit can in case anything leaks to the press. "Hush it up then, Colonel." Dante returned to his rat quarters, cut the deck, turning up death. Inside the coffin, he was awake. Scripture resurfaced.
"The wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat. The calf and the lion and the yearling together. And a little child will lead them."
Was this death? Dante blinked. The kidnapping came back, being knocked unconscious. Who was wolf? Who was the lamb? Even here, images of leopard and lion would not leave him alone. Fear's movie was going on inside him. Then a phone vibrated rudely on his chest. A reprieve or ransom demand? No, just a picture send. It was the birth card. The wolf woman lived over in the pass in Tumult Valley, an isolated place known for storms. She trained animals for Hollywood. Randy the leopard and Tamerlane the lion were caged out back with others, while Half Moon, a she-wolf, had slept by her bed since a puppy. Few visited, and she liked it that way. A stuntman got her pregnant during her last shoot. She was glad and never told him. Around sunset, the first contractions began. She walked up and down, rocked in her chair, but couldn't settle. Even the wolf began to fret. Why was the midwife late? As the storm broke, so did her water. She and Moon were on their own. Throwing down quilts, she nested beside the brass bed, spread herself, breathing and pushing, until finally the baby crowned and was in the world. She slumped back,
and brought it close. She had done it. Alone. Moon licked the baby's face. The tumult was over. She reached for the deck on the bedside table. As a ritual of significant beginning, she knocked it flying to see what fate would turn up for a newborn girl. It was the clean slate, the heart-shaped mirror card, the blank. You've been listening to The Tumult Cards by Chris Mooney Singh.
Thank you, Singh, for bringing it. Ooh, cupcakes. I went to the corner store and got a whole bunch of stuff that I probably shouldn't have gotten. 99 cents for two cupcakes. Remember when they used to be like 25 cents? Now they're 99 cents. That's a cupcake. I'm sure that your idea of a cupcake is piled high frosting and actual decent cake instead of this industrial crap. But for 99 cents, you can get a pile of these. It's probably not even... Oh, it's got the cream filling. So, do you put cream filling in yours? No, you lose. I should take a photo of it. No, I'm not going to pick up the phone. Otherwise, Mom will call. She's like, there's a sensor in there that you wave around and shake, and it knows what angle it's... It knows that it's been picked up, and then Mom will call. No. But Tom has come calling. So it's Tom, Mother's Day, Tom, Mom, something, connection, do the name game. I'm just going to say, hey, here are some updates from Tom, and then we'll get into his stories. Yes, he has more than one story. You thought, you know, he was only going to do updates in one. This dude, recording machine. Possibly an adding machine, too. One and one is two, baby!
Hello, night people. I've got updates. Uber Monkey Phil Norval Joe has been in the top 10 for 200 weeks in a row. Chris Monroe passes our friend Liana into the 14th place, a mere 11 stories shy of Golden Monkey status, and just 13 stories shy of Iron Monkey status. We have a new fifth monkey, Thomas, charging past Steve. Zachman is just 10 stories from Iron Monkey status. Go, Zachman. Currently, to enter the top 10, one would have to post 130 stories. But the real news this week is we are 5,000 stories strong and counting.
You heard it from the man. 5,000 stories strong. Not old, not wise, strong, baby. Strength wins all competition. So, if you've got more than 5,000 stories out there, bring it. Bring it. We're fleet. The race is always to the fleet. The battle is always to the strong. What, you've got an aphorism that says otherwise? Yeah, it was written by someone who was weak and slow, and now they're dead. That's right, it was an ancient Greek aphorism. The race is not always to the strong, and the battle is not always to the fleet, or... Well, I mean, if it's a sixth fleet, yeah, you're going to beat them with your little Zodiac boats. You can take out a few ships, but you're dead meat. They're going to pound some shells into your little freedom fighter place there. What am I saying? I'm going to just shut up and let Tom do the... He actually wrote stories. What the hell am I babbling for?
Hello, night people. Tom here, and tonight's story is... It's always Timmy. Timmy smiled at Dad, raised his hand, shook two fingers proudly, and proclaimed, "I'm two!" The remainder of the cake and candles were smeared across the top of the wooden high chair and Timmy's face. With a mountain of toys from grandparents, aunts, uncles, parents, Timmy seemed most fascinated by a Nerf ball. The Godfather Tom sheepishly apologized for inadvertently upstaging the family. "It's okay, Tom. It's actually on the list of toys Timmy can take with him." Mother carefully put the knit hat on Timmy's shining head. As they drove to the clinic, Tom thought 3 years old was highly unlikely. To mark my 500th story at Lawrence's 100-word archive, I want to thank you all for the shout-outs for my birthday last month. As one advances in years, the milestones called to celebrate become more distinctly spaced out. To this end, only birthdays ending in zero get properly acknowledged. This is why I brought it to the attention of our band of brothers/sisters, gender correct, thank you very much. Turning 60 is sort of unfamiliar landscape, sort of Gallop on acid, and I highly do not recommend doing acid in Gallop. For one, I feel no wiser or mature than when I was 14. But at the same time, I'm the last living member of my childhood rat pack. In the last year, my best writing has been in the form of eulogies. Gail keeps saying I'm middle-aged. Don't know many folk 120. I've always thought it's odd. At 19, you're a young man. And at 29, you're standing at the border of middle age. Now I've doubled 30. My goal is to care half as much about what others think of me and have six times as much fun as when I was 10.
Oh, crap. We got to do math. Okay, hold on. Half as much of think and six times 10 and shit, I don't know. Thank you, Tom, now I got to bring up the calculator. All right, so it's on the little Mac pad thing. Do I do command left, control option left? What is it? Oh, I get so afraid. I get so confused with those three keys. I never know which one is which. Oh, with Windows, it was a simple alt and the Windows and the... Shit, I don't know either. Screw it. I'm just going to get an abacus. So I'm going to go on Amazon and get an... Ooh, they have a calculator. Oh, thank you, Tom. And, updates were... Do I still keep track of monkeys? Do I need to update the table up there? I haven't looked for a while. I'm afraid. I don't understand. I ought to, so I had to take on this challenge. This will be my challenge, to get the monkeys all sorted out. The sad part is, whenever he says someone passes... Someone, it's great that someone's writing, but it also means that someone stopped writing, because they've been passed. Leanna, where are you? Where are the birds? Leanna, the birds, the birds, the birds, the birds are all gone, aren't they? I think we talked about that. I don't know. I don't remember. Oh. And being the last of your rat pack. You're a rat? Oh. I know I'm a rat. I'm a dirty rat. I killed your brother. No, he never said that, did he? One thing I do know that's been said is Tour Bregianu is right around the corner. Oh, wait. That corner. Oh, not this one? Oh, how about this corner? Ooh, it's a three-cornered hat. I love three-cornered hats. I don't know why. It's not patriotic. It's fashion.
Say, how old are you? I usually leave before people start asking. But it's getting harder to disappear. Time was, I'd get on a ship and go missing, turn up somewhere as a stranger and start over. It's not so easy under the eye of Google Earth, the internet and CCTVs everywhere. I recently gave a DNA sample to a research survey. I'd like to know what they find that's kept this body going 3,000 years, but it looks like I can't stick around to find out. Time to leave. Time for a new life. That never gets old.
3,000 years. Did you ever run into the 2,000-year-old man? Oh. Thank you, Tora.
Nectarines. I tell you, spoiled nectarine is better than a fresh plum. Do I look like I'm eating fresh plums or nectarines? Great, now I'm going to get a whole bunch of nectarines. I got to go to the store. I need to get salad stuff and all that because I'm eating cupcakes and other things that I shouldn't be eating. Junk food. I also should be doing laundry. Nope. It's 9. It takes an hour and a half for both cycles. It'll get done before the mad rush of crazy neighbors. I'll be fine. Especially once we, this machine's broken. I'm going to tear off all the broken machine sides. I'm funny. Troll. Asshole. I'm going to use up all the machines. Yeah, right. You'll run out of money soon. You know what I like to do? I like to take my dry clothes, throw them in each of the dryers, and take them all up. Just to stick it back to them. Sons of bitches. Right. I'm outside and I'm saying that out loud. Well, I'm a good neighbor. State Farm isn't here. Someone who is here? Cliff. He's here. And if you say that over and over again, he'll fix something. Wreck-It Ralph? It's Fix-It Cliff.
Old by Clifford Lowe. The bookstore was a collector's dream. Leather-bound volumes lined the shelves. The older books were in display cabinets under lock and key. I loved it. I chatted with the owner for a bit and bought a first edition of 1984. He was obviously a huge bibliophile and grew quite animated when talking about his collection.
I have a first edition Bible. Would you like to see it?
Of course I said yes. I'd never seen a Gutenberg up close.
Oh, it's not a Gutenberg, he said as he unlocked a door. Inside were stacks of stone tablets.
Stone tablets. That's what my doctor prescribes to me when I need to get stoned. Thank you, Cliff. How did Gutenberg print on those stone tablets, by the way? And was it Steve Gutenberg? Mahoney's here! Sorry. I brought up an ugly part of our country, our culture. Is it really a culture if it has Steve Gutenberg in it? Battery says 89%, which means I'm doing fine. I should be doing this more often. It's beautiful out. Even when it's not beautiful out, it's still more beautiful than being inside. Someone said, you should go out and play. Okay. Take the stuff outside. Next story is by Miata, who didn't record it, so guess what? I gotta record it. And I'm like, scratchy throat and eating potato chips and cupcakes and drinking Diet Coke. You think I'm gonna nail it? I don't know. Let's see. I'm not bringing my best game here. You can. I know you can. Just try it. You know you can. You know you can record it. I bet you can. You've probably got 20 different devices that can. You'll probably record it on the microwave. If not, I'll PayPal you a fish. I'll go to Heifer International. I'll say, oh no, the Bobo in the desert needs to start up a micro-capitalist economy. I will send you a fish. Now you can slap people with the fish. Give me your money. Ooga booga. Is that how it works? I was young. I saw an old woman at the park. At first I was afraid of her, that is, until I saw her eyes. They were like the Mediterranean Sea, and they were sparkling at me. Her voice cracked as she spoke, but after listening I caught the lilt, the music from her soul. Had she been to all the places she sang about? She was my grandmother. And the love I came to have for her had no bounds. I am old. I met my grandchildren at the park. At first, they were scared of me. Aw, that's so beautiful. Thank you, Miata, but it would have been more beautiful if you had read it. See, that's how I pressure people. It's called be soft and gentle and kind. I'll probably drive her away with that. That would suck, because then we would miss all the wonderful stories. No, really. Come on. You can record. You know you can. Come on, wait. Hold on. What the hell is Tenny doing in that room? I'm looking in through the windows. I know. If I go inside, she's not going to sit in my lap. Little rat. She's probably a member of the Rat Pack of Cats. More stories? My grandmothers are like 99. Or something. Oh, let's see. Yeah. 99. And the funny thing is, you know, every year something goes wrong and then it's like, oh, they're getting better from it and then they're fine. It's like, really? I have that to look forward to? That's why I eat the cupcakes and the potato chips and the Diet Coke. Do I really? I don't know. Then I'll be, you know, running through all the maladies at 50 and 60 with blocked arteries. That's okay. They got drugs for that. Then, which I was on before, at 30. Right. How about we just go with Zachman and pretend I never said all of that? There, all gone. Here's Zachman.
Hey, Pops, did you hear that new dubstep song on the radio? No, young man, and I hope I don't. Back in my day, music didn't have to sound awful for kids to dance to it. Pops, you know hating new music exclusively because it's crap is a sign of old age. Pop winks and says, I've always hated bad music, and I told you to call me Uncle when we go out places without your mother. Yeah, that's so mature. Your mother assures me that I might have become responsible, maybe even old, but I will never be mature.
That's good to live by. I agree. You should never be mature. You should flake on people and drop them and all that stuff. Just like I got out of SL-10B. Yeah, they want to interview me again. It's like, no! I don't do that. And it just, it avalanched. It cascaded in my mind. And I was like, I gotta get the fuck out of this shit. I don't know what the hell happened with me. I used to love getting questions and mocking people's questions. And then I realized I was thinking of the answers. And I don't want to face those answers. I don't want to think of them. Even if my reactions are flippant and all that. I know what'll brighten things up. A story from Steven the Nuclear Man, who's been at some convention of writers, traveling from writer thing to writer thing. Him and Norval Joe, man, it's a competition now. It's a race. Remember, the race is always to the strong. And the Sixth Fleet and I... Did I mess that up again? Yeah. Oh well, he'll get it right.
You don't want to. You really don't. But the scab, dried platelets, and blood can't be ignored. Try to concentrate on the smooth skin, not the raised red inflammation around the scab. Focus, damn it, focus. Your fingers, your clothes, the air brushes against the scab. The invisible elephant makes it impossible to move, to breathe, to think. Dig with fingernails chewed and peeled and bitten with worry, the sharp flashes of pain or relief, any sensation beside the crusted, deadened dread. You're surprised by the blood, by the wound. It will stain your clothes. It will leave a scar.
What is the invisible elephant in your life that makes it impossible to move? It's time to throw that invisible elephant. Throw it far. Throw it very far. Move your cheese and throw the elephant and sad the panda and see how far you can throw it. And then you can breathe and pick your scabs in peace. And where the... I ought to make a motivational book. I've had the outline for one for years. It's called Fistfucking the Platypus. And it makes fun of all these throw the elephant, move the cheese. But it may be a little too late because that stuff is like 15 years old. And people are beyond motivation now. They just want money. And the book is just a pile of money now. Just thank you, Stephen the Nuclear Man. Thank you for getting the invisible elephant off our chests. The monkeys off our backs. And the cheese and the movement. I don't know. I looked far too deep into my soul earlier. There's nothing there. One thing I should have done last week was I should have recorded and posted Red Goddess's story for last week. She sent it in after I'd packed everything up, was heading to the airport, you dig? And I just never got back to it. I didn't plug in the headphones and get going. Instead, I'm going to read her last week's Lola story, and this week, hey, this is what happens when you don't record your own stories, or have other people record them for you. It just, you know, it's like, really? Do I have to? Come on. No, just, I get whiny. But I end up doing it anyway, but I just waited until now. Sorry. No, I shouldn't be sorry. No, you're the one imposing on me. What am I being sorry for? Ha ha! I'm fighting back. Drive everyone away, probably. Here's Red Goddess's last week's story and then this week's story. Lola can count the number of awkward moments at the hotel in both hands. Most guests are cordial, unless they're in one of their bad moods, you know. The my problems are bigger than yours, look. They walk around like zombies with blank stares and with the scent of rage. Lola feels like an invisible sculpture in the lobby. On other days, they seek her out like a lost friend, spilling their repressed secrets to her like a designated therapist. The next day, some zoom by without saying a word. In spite of their indifference, Lola will remain the most reliable stranger in their lives. Wasn't there a Madonna song about reliable stranger? No, it was Beautiful Stranger. Never mind. That song was stupid. So, I won't sing it, but what I will do is hit stop, hit record again, and then read her next story. So, more. Let's do 20. Let's play two. It's a beautiful day outside. Lola has come to accept the reality that old age is like death. Both are inevitable. After turning 30, she stops counting. It's a waste of time considering she feels older than she looks. Sadly, the media won't let her forget either. Everywhere she turns, there are ads for wrinkle and cellulite cream. Her friends shower her with compliments, but she's skeptical. Henri, a French hotel guest with a permanent tan, greets with air kisses and spins her around like a ballerina. "You look younger by the minute," he squeals for everyone in earshot to turn and stare. Lola blushes, but feels oddly convinced by this drunk man's flattery. "You look younger by the minute, and older by the day, and smellier by the week, and wrinklier by the month, and by the year, well, you're just out of fashion." Sorry, I'm getting on a roll. I need to stop that. What I do need to do is say thank you. So I was going to say thank you, Lola. I caught myself there. Thank you, Red Goddess. I'm really getting grouchy and petulant this week. I'm outside. It's beautiful out. What the hell am I being whiny for?
Got little tiny little fairies hanging from strings from the...
There aren't any candles in there, are there? No, but... Oh, great. All the candle holders are filled with water, so mosquitoes will get in there. Oh, good. Good. I've been hoping for those. Also, another thing I've been hoping for is Justin Space Turtle. He's got stories.
Near Space Turtle. Justin Lomaster here from thespaceturtle.com. Got my story today. Two stories, actually. The same story twice. Based on the game Fallout 3. It's the same story, but the character each time is different. So you get a different viewpoint, get a different outcome of the story. See what happens. Delbright traipsed across the capital wasteland, enjoying no longer living in the vault. Sure, it was a big mess, but not boring. Bright sunlight glinted off something in the sand. Delbright picked it up. It was old, but still new and shiny. It looked like something from the vault museum. It was amazing to find something this old, still looking good out here. He fiddled with it, trying to decide how it worked. It fell from his hands when the back of his skull cracked. Delbert fell and saw his killer. The sneaking bandit took it back, as well as Delbright's things. Carson goaded his Brahmin along the path between Megaton and Big Town. The wagon they pulled was his life, goods to trade. Travelers needed items of all sorts, and he needed caps to put food on his plate. Something that looked valuable laid in the sand ahead, reflecting the harsh sunlight. Carson picked it up. It was old, and it was in mint condition. Far too mint condition to not have been placed here recently. He took cover against his wagon. When a bandit came around the corner, spiked bat in hand, he shot, and added the bandit's things to his own.
Thank you, Justin. It's cool to see a story from two different perspectives. You know what? I don't have any food on my plate. I don't have a plate. But I've eaten out of packages. I've eaten the Reese's peanut butter cups. I've eaten the cupcakes. I've eaten the Ruffles. Let's add up the calories, shall we? All right. So, let's see. 200 each. 400. And one package. Oh, good. 210. Are you doing the math there? Are we 10 times 6 yet? Calories from entire package, 450. Oh, that's a good breakfast then. Okay. Yeah, right. I should get up and walk around for a bit. Maybe do some laundry. The only way I'll burn calories with laundry is beating it against a rock. So what I'll do is I'll beat someone with a rock and tell them, do my laundry for me. Maybe there'll be a neighbor. Maybe there'll be a cat. I don't know. But what I do know is that Danny is waiting patiently with his story, doing the pee-pee dance, saying, I need to tell my story, and then I gotta go to the bathroom real quick. Come on, I don't want to lose my place in line. You're already last in line.
Hello, hello. Danny Dwyer here with what I think is Weekly Challenge 368, but I am certain of the topic. Old. Let's get this party started. An old man tried to commit suicide by carbon monoxide gas. The old man carefully hooked a long tube from the exhaust pipe of his car into the rear window of his four-door sedan, parked in his garage, then thoroughly sealed the back window with duct tape. Unfortunately, the car the old man used was a hydrogen fuel cell car from Honda. The Honda was so well built, and the duct tape job around the exhaust was so brilliant, and the cabin of the car was so well built, it rapidly filled with water. The old man drowned instead.
If I'm ever going to off myself, it's going to be that way. I want a new age, green, renewable way of checking out, baby. Hemlock Society, join the 21st century. Thank you, Danny. You brighten my day, man. So, We've got one more story to go. You know who it's from, Planet Z. Every freaking week, 368. But it's really 369 weeks since that hurricane episode. I could have posted one. Honestly, I could. But folks, you know, so we're like, eh, be safe, be all that. It's like, all right, fine. 8th anniversary of the podcast is coming up. I haven't created little Second Life posters for it and all that crap. I picked out the story that's going to be the anniversary story, and it's like, whatever. I'm not sure. What I'd rather do is this game that everyone's played already, Where's My Water? You played that one yet with the alligator and the stuff and the... It starts off simple and then it gets all crazy. And then it's like, wait, where's the... I'm missing a special bonus. Where's the loofah thing and all that crap? The game is fun until that first time that you Google to cheat. Oh, wait, Mist is looking out the window now. Hello, pretty little girl. It is so easy to see her against the white blinds. And there she goes, and now she starts pawing at the window. Let me out! Let me out! No. Meow! I want to go out. Not happening. Instead, what I'm going to do is play you a story by Planet Z.
Whenever I find an ornate bottle that looks like it might contain a genie, I pick it up and wish that I never found the genie's bottle in the first place. This guarantees that my life will either stay the same, because the bottle isn't magical at all, or that it will get better. How will it get better? Because with all this crazy shit going on, there's no way I'd wish for the life that I have now. So it stands to reason that the genie made my wishes backfire on me. No bottle, no crazy shit. Fucking genies.
Put a ring on its finger and a fork in its side. This weekly challenge on the topic of old is done. Thank you to everyone who was a part of it, whether you wrote and recorded. Thank you for doing that. And those who are listening right now, what the hell are you still listening for? Of people leaving comments. No, wait, nobody ever does that. Of folks sharing this episode out on the social networks. All it takes is like 2 or 3 clicks. Come on. You can do it. You can do it. It doesn't take that much effort. If you're so proud of your damn work that you're going to share it, you should share it not just with the podcast, but share the podcast with the world and the this and that. iStuff is here. Enjoy it. Say it just like that. If you make that a ringtone, I will bop you. Oh, what else? Next week's topic is smell. Until then, this is Lawrence Simon of the 100 Word Stories podcast saying, suffer 6 more days and look up because it's weekly challenge time again. And thank you for listening and being a part of this. And most of all, keep it brief.